와.
Yes, indeedy. Kind of a wet, grim, gray Friday. But the most important part of that sentence is Friday.
Does anybody have a radio?
All right, everybody.
Listen up.
Well, first things first.
End of the week.
It's Friday.
Yeah, it is.
Getting crazy. Being unpredictable. That's your brand.
Nine tenths of good radio is preparation. The other part is just making sure that you don't burp into the microphone.
That's what this show is all about.
Can he be any more fun?
I like your free-flowing format. It's totally different.
Oh, we should start the show.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, we're here. We may as well. Yep, let's get it going.
Work, 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 work.
That's what we do for 4 hours each weekday, Monday through Friday. Yours truly, the attack dog of the right, the bombastic loudmouth of the South, and on the other side of the glass, contributing as a part of Bob and the Bobettes, Miss Moneypenny pushing the button, screening the calls, working diligently to make sure everything works smoothly, and of course, Little Annie back in the news center, keeping you abreast of the day's news.
Sounds like a fun crew.
It is indeed fun crew. So, and would be even funner if you were to participate. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number 71307. And my email address is simply bob@1063word.com. Well, the deadline has now passed. 3 p.m. was the date, the deadline that had been set by Judge Sullivan for the FBI and the DOJ to turn over all relevant documents dealing with the interrogation of Lieutenant General McFlynn, who ended up, of course, pleading guilty to having lied to the FBI in what appears to many to be an obvious case of entrapment. So we are awaiting with bated breath news from Washington about whether the documents were turned over. There was an interesting column today that pretty much nailed it, entitled Checking Robert Mueller. This was at the Wall Street Journal, written by Kimberly Strassel. Robert Mueller has operated for 19 months as a law unto himself, reminding us of the awesome and destructive powers of special counsels. About the only possible check on Mr. Mueller is a judge who is wise to the tricks of prosecutors and investigators. Good news, that's what we got this week. Former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn a year ago pleaded guilty to one count of lying to the FBI about his conversations with Russia's ambassador to United States. Mr. Flynn's defense team this week filed a sentencing memo to Judge Emmett Sullivan that contained explosive new information about that Flynn-FBI meeting in January 2017. It was arranged by then-Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, he has since departed, who personally called Mr. Flynn on other business, then suggested he sit down with two agents to clear up the Russia question. Mr. McCabe urged General Flynn to conduct the interview with no lawyer present, according to him, to make things easier. The agents, including the infamous Peter Strzok, showed up within 2 hours at the White House. They had already decided not to inform Flynn that they had transcripts of his conversations or give him the standard warning against lying to the FBI. They wanted him relaxed and unguarded, their words. Former Director James Comey this weekend bragged on BSNBC that he would never have gotten away with such a move in a more organized administration. Now, bear in mind, this is like in the first week after the president was inaugurated and the new staff has come in. Strassel continues, the whole thing stinks of entrapment, though the curious question was how the Flynn defense team got the details. The court filing refers to a McCabe memo written the day of the 2017 meeting, as well as an FBI summary known as a 302 of the Flynn interview. These are among documents congressional Republicans have been fighting to obtain for more than a year, only to be stonewalled by the DOJ. Now we know why the department didn't want them public. They've come to light thanks to a man who knows well how men like Messrs. Mueller and Comey operate. That is Judge Sullivan. He sits on the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia. And as he wrote for the Journal last year, he got a wake-up call in 2008 while overseeing the trial of then-Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska. Judge Sullivan ultimately assigned a lawyer to investigate DOJ misconduct. The investigator's report found prosecutors had engaged in deliberate and repeated ethical violations, withholding key evidence from the defense. It also excoriated the FBI for failing to write up 302s and for omitting key facts from those that it did write. And who was ahead of the FBI while this was going on? Robert Mueller. Judge Sullivan has since made it his practice to begin every case with what is known as a Brady order, which reminds prosecutors of their constitutional obligation to provide the defense with any exculpatory evidence. On December 12, 2017, days after being assigned to the Flynn case, Judge Sullivan issued such an order, instructing Mueller's team to turn over, quote, any evidence in its possession that is favorable to defendant and material, either to defendant's guilt or punishment, end quote. Had any other judge drawn the case, we likely would never have seen these details of the FBI's behavior. It's clear that something has concerned Judge Sullivan, who likely sees obvious parallels to the Stevens case. The media has been predicting a quick ruling in the Flynn case. Instead, Judge Sullivan issued new orders Wednesday demanding to see for himself the McCabe memo and the Flynn 302. He also ordered the special counsel to hand over by 3 p.m. today any other documents relevant to the Flynn FBI meeting. Given his history with the FBI, the judge may also have some questions about the curious date on the Flynn 302, August 22, 2017, a full 7 months after the interview. Texts from Mr. Strzok and testimony from Mr. Comey both suggest the 302 was written long before then. February is the date that I've heard. Was the 302 edited in the interim? And if so, by whom and at whose direction? FBI officials initially testified to Congress that the agents did not think Mr. Flynn had lied. Judges have the ability to reject plea deals and require a prosecutor to make a case at trial. The criminal justice system isn't only about holding defendants accountable. Trials also provide oversight of investigators and their tactics. And judges are not obliged to follow prosecutors' sentencing recommendations. Now, obviously, nobody knows how Judge Sullivan will rule. His reputation is for being no-nonsense, a straight shooter, an advocate of government transparency. Whatever the outcome, he has done the nation a favor by using his Brady order to hold prosecutors to some account and allow the country a glimpse at how federal law enforcement operates, which is the very least the country can expect. Kimberly Strassel, writing today at the Wall Street Journal. There's another question here, too, that is interesting. How did the FBI accuse General Flynn of lying, having transcripts of his conversations with this Russian ambassador? Well, they got those through the illegal spying they did, authorized by the FISA court. And, of course, the evidence that they took to the judge of the FISA court was bogus. That Steele dossier, paid for by Hillary and the DNC. A salient fact the FBI and DOJ left out when they went to the FISA court to gain the ability to spy on the Trump campaign to begin with. This stuff is really, really sick. As I say, we don't know what Judge Sullivan is going to rule, but this casts the whole deal in a brand new light. 16 after 3 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here. When we come back, catch up with the text line, and we also go to the phones for the first time here on the Friday free-for-all. Keep in mind, it is the Allskate today. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. Be right back. Little Motown treatment on Christmas music. Temptations, of course. 3:21 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Welcome back. Great to have you along, TGIF edition. As promised, let's go right to the phones. And our leadoff batter today is Shane, who is in Spartanburg. Yeah. Come back. Come back, Shane. Come back. We love you, Shane.
Hi, Bobby. I'm just sick and tired of all this attacking Christmas stuff. I mean, first it was Baby It's Cold Outside. Now they want a unisex Santa. I mean, what next? They're going to fly the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, probably. Well, you know, look, it started out, of course, with the White Christmas. And you can't say White Christmas anymore because that's racist, you know. Then they wanted to skewer poor Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer over bullying. Then this year it was Baby It's Cold Outside, and the hashtag MeToo movement objected to that on the basis of date rape or no means no or whatever. And now they've finally, and let's hope this is their ultimate conclusion, have reached poor old Kris Kringle.
Oh, the next thing they're going to say is Santa Claus can't say ho, ho, ho because it's offensive to hookers.
But, of course, you know, if you listen to any rap music, you hear that expression quite often.
Yeah, but every other word. Yeah. But, I mean, it's just getting ridiculous. Like they're trying to erase things that I grew up with. I'm 45. I've always known Santa. They called him a merry old soul. He was St. Nick.
Right, and you're right.
What are they going to do with Mrs. Claus?
Well, you hit on it, Shane. They are trying to eradicate our history. And as Winston Churchill once brilliantly said, those who want to eradicate our history, a country that doesn't remember its history has no future. And they want that future to be Obama's vision of a transformed America into some kind of, Venezuela, I guess. That's his ultimate dream, you know?
I don't know, but thank you, Bobby, and you have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Shane.
I love your show.
Thank you very much, sir. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a great New Year as well. And Santa doesn't need to be attacked. Come on, Santa's got enough problems as it is. Here's the jolly old soul right now.
I'm okay.
How good.
Santa's got clogged veins and heart palpitations. Doc says to work out, but I got no motivation. So here fat Santa sits eating buffalo wings. What can I say? They're my favorite things.
I hear ya.
Kids leave me cookies and whole milk in glasses. All of that lactose gives Santa the gases.
Uh-oh.
High cholesterol is what it brings. Doc says that soon I will be suffering. I got meat sweats and diabetes.
Oh, boy.
Because I am so fat. But as long as I don't have blocked arteries,
right,
well, then I don't feel so bad.
Come on.
Okay. That last note takes the wind out.
I hear you. Santa's got enough problems. It is. Just leave Santa alone, will you? For heaven's sake. In on the text line, Bob. Anything goes Friday text question. If the Reverend Jesse Jackson bought a Lamborghini, would anybody care? Probably not. They're used to it with Jesse. Bobby is just wondering if it's true that the downward trend in the economy we're in is due partially to the Fed raising interest rates, among other things, that the Democrats are trying to do now. So maybe the general populace will be more prone to impeach the president. I suspect that the president has enemies everywhere. Let me suffice that to answer your question. Bob, the only solution for all this is an independent South Carolina like it was a long time ago. Well, it would help if we didn't have a bunch of converted Democrats calling themselves Republicans down in the legislature. Bobby, what's next? Blue Christmas, offensive to Smurfs? Yeah, probably. By the way, since this is the Friday free-for-all, a bit later in the program, we will have our annual playing of Porky Pig doing his rendition of Blue Christmas. So that's still on the way. Bill is next up on the phones. He is in Malden. Hi, Bill, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Bobby and Mac. Listen, I think today is a perfect day to remind people out there who are driving around without their headlights on and the windshield wipers on that it's against South Carolina law to do so.
Yeah, it is. And it's also not too bright because literally, I mean, pun intended, it's not too bright because you don't need your headlights. Yeah, you don't need your headlights in these conditions to see where you're going, but it helps other people see you coming.
Where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. So I appreciate you letting me have this opportunity to remind people, turn their headlights on, not their parking lights, not their daytime running lights, because neither the parking lights have taillights. But your headlights, turn on your taillights.
Yep, good reminder.
You can see where you are both ways.
You betcha. Good reminder, Bill. Thank you very much. And speaking of Malden, Moneypenny and told me one of our Wazers just called in with a report. And it's probably on our Waze app as well. 385 southbound, the Roper Mountain Road exit. There's an accident there that all three lanes were blocked, Moneypenny. All three southbound lanes on 385 were blocked.
Yes.
So if you were heading for Malden, Simpsonville, sometime in the next few minutes, might be a good idea to use the surface streets instead of 385. Unless you want to find yourself in a massive traffic mess out there. Also in on the text line. Bobby, the word deadline apparently doesn't exist to the FBI, especially when it pertains to them. Bobby, Dow is down another 500-plus points on worries that Trump doesn't know what he's doing with China. That's another $33,000 loss for me in a single day. Well, maybe the market is so volatile right now, might be a good time to get out. Ever thought of that? By the way, what the media is not telling you is $125 billion? I'll have to go back and find the story, but China has blinked when it comes on the trade provisions that are applied to automobiles. And so that's going to make a difference as well. 3:29 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here. Some special Christmas items coming along today as well. 6 scams to watch out for that pop up around the holidays. What is the hottest toy for Christmas? And our advice on the 5 topics that are pretty much radioactive at Christmas. You want to avoid them to make sure you don't find yourself in a big fight. That and more is on the way here on the Bobby Mac Show. As a remake of Jingle Bell Rock by Hall & Oates. Was that in the 80s? I think, yeah, it was really good as well. That's the original version from the 50s, Bobby Helms and Jingle Bell Rock. 3:37, all Christmas bumpers today here on the Bobby Mac Show because I will be departing for a Christmas vacation after today. So we've got a lot of special things lined up. As I mentioned earlier, Porky Pig's rendition of Blue Christmas will be along a bit later. And something that we debuted last year, a special voice recording by my buddy in Chicago, Victor Lyle, whose voice you hear on all of our station promos and things. And Victor put this together last year, and we'll share that. We got a lot of requests to repeat it this year. So we'll do that. And we have some other specialty Christmas items as well today. Number one on the list, new survey found the main discussion topics that are radioactive when friends and family are getting together for Christmas to avoid fights, tears, sister storming out and swearing next year she's going to spend the holidays with her boyfriend's family, whatever. And you could probably, these are kind of self-explanatory, and you probably have touched on all of these as well, but just to share with you the results of the survey, numero uno on the list, politics. Yeah. 68% of people avoid it. The others, well, they'll be joining that percentage of those after this year. Number two, people's personal lives. You know, it's fine. You know, how'd your year go? How are the kids? You know, but did that rash ever clear up? You know, probably don't want to go in that direction. Number three, religion. Yep, you know, that's fine. You have religion. Other family members have religion. To each his own, all right? Number four on the list, money. Yeah, 42%. And rounding out the top five, life changes since last year. Like, boy, man, you're really packing all the pounds there, aren't you? Blubber. Let's see. What is this your third wife now or your fourth, Bill? You know, it's none of those. That's probably territory that should be avoided. All of those topics are pretty much nuclear. All right. This is a further example of the degradation of society, just how far into the gutter we are sliding. When you hear about this one, you'll be under the impression that Tickle Me Elmo or Billy Bass, Take Me to the River, those things are downright sophisticated. Apparently, the hottest toy this Christmas season, the Poopsie Slime Surprise Unicorn. Yes, that's what I said.
What?
Yeah, the Poopsie Slime Surprise Unicorn. Here is the commercial for same.
Poopsie, 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 poopsie surprise unicorn. My slime is divine. Give her magic food. Yes. You won't believe your eyes. Put her on the potty. Unicorn slime surprise. Unicorn magic color change. Rainbow slime, glitter slime, so many to collect. Poopsie surprise unicorn. Which unicorn will you get? Yeah. Poopsie surprise unicorn. Over 20 surprises. Each sold separately. And look for poopsie pooey baton.
Now, what kind of perverted, twisted toy maker came up with the Poopsie Slime Surprise? Now, if you haven't heard about this, it costs $50. It's a unicorn doll that poops a glittery slime out of a heart-shaped hole. Yes, that's what it is and what it does. What are the lyrics of that old song, Moneypenny? I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Somehow, the designers of this toy missed that part. Anyway, if you do get it for your kid, be very careful. The glitter poop can be hard to clean if you let it sit there too long. As if that's not a bad enough problem. If you let it harden inside the unicorn, then you have to perform a toothpick colonoscopy to clean the thing out. This gets worse by the moment. May I recommend? We don't usually do endorsements, but we can do non-endorsements, and I think the Poopsie Slime Surprise Unicorn is going to be on the list. And of course, this is the time of year when we see scams popping up all over the place. Be on the lookout for these. Social media gift exchanges. They may show up on your feed around the holidays, and they promise, hey, you'll get a bunch of gifts if you send one. No, it's a pyramid scheme. Free gift cards. Hey, you know, these are usually, they pop up as phishing emails or pop-up ads. If you see one, do not click any links or share any of your personal information. Unusual forms of payment. This is a relatively new one, because if you're buying stuff online, be on the lookout for anyone asking for a form of payment that can't be traced or undone, you know, like prepaid debit cards or gift cards or wire transfers. Fake shipping notifications. Now, this is a new one. Scammers send fake shipping emails in an attempt to trick you into opening the email and then entering personal information and passwords. Some might even ask you to send money in order to receive your package. Those are all scams. Phony charities, these have been around forever. Charity names that sound similar to well-known organizations. And if you're on the fence and you're saying, is this the real charity or is this a scam? Go to the website give.org, give.org, and you can verify if the charity's real or not. And rounding out the list, temporary holiday jobs. Scammers are now using fake job postings for the same purpose of all of these, to get your personal information from somebody who applies for one of these fake jobs. So be suspicious of anyone asking for personal information over the phone or online before meeting for an interview or any job that they ask you to pay for equipment or software or something up front. All right. So just a few heads up to make your holiday more merry. 3:45, quarter before four here on the Bobby Mac Show. Hey, this is a surprise. The FBI faced another deadline today, not only the one to Judge Emmett Sullivan, but also to the Judiciary Committee that's looking into the whistleblower raid. Doesn't look good for their getting there. We'll share the details of this with you when we come right back here on the Bobby Mac Show on Friday. Thank you. Thank you. So nice to be along with you this afternoon. See if we can brighten up a cloudy, gray, and kind of grim-looking Friday afternoon. I mentioned as I went to the break, the DOJ and the FBI, this is really stunning news, I know, too, have missed their Wednesday deadline to provide information about the government's mysterious raid on a former FBI contractor turned whistleblower. You may remember the FBI stormed in and raided his home last month. 16 FBI agents on November 19 raided the home of Dennis Kane, who reportedly gave the Justice Department's Inspector General, it's Michael Horowitz, documents related to the Uranium One controversy and potential wrongdoing by former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Pantsuit Clinton. The documents in question allegedly showed that federal officials failed to investigate possible criminal activity related to Hillary, the Clinton Foundation, and Rosatom, the Russian nuclear company. They were the buyer. Its subsidiary purchased Canadian mining company Uranium One in 2013. So Chuck Grassley, who's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he heads the panel that has oversight of the DOJ, wrote a letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray, this guy needs to go too, and Justice Department IG Michael Horowitz, requesting information on the justification for the raid on the whistleblower's home. And Senator Grassley gave Wray and Horowitz until December 12th to respond to his request. Today's the 14th, right? Well, the deadline has come and gone. Neither the FBI nor the DOJ has produced any documents, nor have they even responded to his request. A spokesperson for the Judiciary Committee told Fox News, "We've not yet received answers to the chairman's questions on this matter." And the FBI has consistently refused requests from Fox News for comments on the whistleblower raid or the Judiciary Committee's request. Yesterday, an FBI spokesperson told Fox News the agency would only respond to inquiries from the entity that requested the documents. In this case, that would be the Judiciary Committee. Well, they still haven't done that. And Mr. Kane tweeted, "As frustrating and violating as this feels to me and my family, I will continue to put my trust in God. Someday this life will pass away. I will stand before my Maker with a clean conscience and Jesus as my defender. Until then, I continue to fight the good fight with God's help." Questioning whether we now live in a secret police state, Kane took his frustration about the situation to Twitter, saying, quote, "So I blow the whistle on the FBI, get raided by the same FBI, and now they want to keep the FBI's reasons for the raid secret? Do we now live in a secret police state? Feels a little like 1984. The Daily Caller requested that a court unseal the relevant search warrant materials, but the U.S. Attorney for the District of Maryland said in a court filing the request should be denied. Of course! You know, they want to cover up as much of this stuff as they can. Public disclosure of any search warrant materials would seriously jeopardize the integrity of the ongoing investigation, they said. Continued sealing, keeping it secret, is essential in order to guard against possible tampering of witnesses and destruction of evidence to maintain the ability of the grand jury to investigate this matter. You want to talk about destruction of evidence? How about the cell phones that contained all the text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page? They turned those phones back in. Guess what? Before anybody investigating what they were doing could extract anything from those phones, they had their phones reset to the factory settings. Oh, geez. Don't know how that happened. One of those techies, you know, the phones came back in, turned back in, and went ahead and reset them to the factory settings. And don't know how that happened. I guess, you know, they just, they weren't in the loop. That's it. They didn't get the memo. And so they didn't know they were doing anything wrong. Right. Why is it that whenever all this stuff happens, it's beneficial to Hillary and Bill or to Robert Mueller or to James Comey or to somebody inherently involved in the deep state? Now, this whistleblower, Mr. Kane, his attorney told the Daily Caller, the agent who led the raid on his home accused Mr. Kane of possessing stolen federal property. In response, Kane said, look, I'm a protected whistleblower under federal law, and I'm recognized as such by the DOJ's Inspector General. Doesn't cut any ice with them. The attorney said Horowitz had transmitted information on the sale of Uranium One to a Russian firm subsidiary to both the House and Senate Intelligence Committee. Spokesperson for the IG declined to comment. On Tuesday this week, Mr. Kane added on Twitter, thank you for the outpouring of encouragement. You're all awesome. A boxer goes into his corner to rest for a minute, refocus, and get some sideline coaching. Then the bell rings and he's ready to go another round. This fight is spiritual and God is in our corner. Ding. Fox News has previously reported that Douglas Campbell, an FBI informant involved in the Uranium One deal, has testified to lawmakers that Moscow paid millions to an American lobbying firm, APCO, APCO, APCO Worldwide, to influence Hillary and the Obama administration. The contract called for four payments, $750,000 each over 12 months, Mr. Campbell said in his statement. APCO was expected to give assistance free of charge to the Clinton Global Initiative as part of their effort to create a favorable environment to ensure the Obama administration made affirmative decisions on everything from Uranium One to the U.S.-Russia Civilian Nuclear Cooperation Agreement. APCO has denied Mr. Campbell's claims, while Clinton called any claims of wrongdoing related to the Uranium One deal the same baloney they've been peddling for years. Right. Oh, I'm telling you, the beat goes on. You ever seen anything like this? It's like a daily soap opera with one cliffhanger after another. Oh, no. Get rid of grandma. Go to the break without a bumper if it's going to be that one. Hour number one is zipped on past. Hour number two is next here on Friday. Be right back.